The gospel is the good news that God loves the world and sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin and reign as Lord over all things. Through his incarnate life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and coming judgment, Christ serves as our Savior and Mediator, Prophet, Priest, and King.
You're listening to the Holy Joys Sermon Podcast. Visit us at holyjoys.org to find more resources for a holy, happy church.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. This is the word of the Lord, and we are so grateful for it. Feed your flock this morning. Comfort us with the good news about Jesus Christ and the love that was revealed in him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that God loves the world and sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin and reign as Lord over all things. Through his incarnate life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and coming judgment, Christ serves as our Savior and Mediator, Prophet, Priest, and King. First of all, this morning, the word gospel means good news. Good news. I don't have to tell you that the world is full of bad news. Just go home and turn on any news station. Doesn't matter what radio station, what news station. It's not hard to find that the world is full of bad news, sad news. But the gospel, Isaiah says, is good news of happiness. It's a message that needs to be published or proclaimed. Sometimes there's a quote that goes around. It goes around on Facebook. Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? If the gospel is a message, then you have to use words to proclaim it. Faith comes by hearing. You have to hear something. The gospel requires us to use words because it is news. It is a proclamation. It's glad tidings. It's something that we herald. What is that news? Second, the gospel is news about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It's news about what God has done for us. It's not about what we do for him. The gospel tells us that we're hopeless and helpless and that God has to reach down and intervene. God created us to know, love, and enjoy him. But we've ignored him and gone our own selfish way. You know, I heard something recently that I thought was profound. Somebody said the opposite of love is not hatred. It's apathy. It's indifference. There's a lot of people in this world who don't actively hate God. They just don't care about him. They're indifferent to him. They live without reference to him. They go about their own lives as if it belongs to them. And that brings inevitably sin, death, and misery in this world. God could have left us to our own way. He could have abandoned us in our sin, death, and misery. But God is love. And he has reached down to help poor, helpless sinners through his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's the good news about what our loving God has done for us in Jesus. Third, the gospel is about salvation, deliverance from sin through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And the wages of this sin is death. Isaiah 64:6 says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags." Our good deeds can never outweigh our bad deeds. You can't go to church enough. You can't give enough money to the church. You can't help enough widows to earn your salvation. Our sin incurs a debt that we cannot pay. And trying to pay it back through good deeds offends God and his glory. We are completely helpless to save ourselves. Sin is too powerful. Sin is too serious, and we cannot overcome its guilt, power, and presence in this world. That's why God sent his Son to do what we could not do. When the angel came to Joseph, he announced that the virgin woman would bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. And Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The gospel in one word is Jesus. Fourth this morning, Jesus delivers us from sin through his saving reign as Lord over all things. Jesus delivers us from sin through his saving reign as Lord over all things. I hope that little phrase, saving reign, sticks in your mind this morning. Sin came into the world through the first man, Adam. He disobeyed God and plunged the human race into sin, death, and misery. And it's important to remember that God had commanded Adam to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and to have dominion. Adam was created to have dominion over the whole earth with all its creatures, to reign over creation with justice, peace, and flourishing for all. But instead, Adam was subdued by one creature in particular, the serpent, animated by Satan. Our only hope after Adam is for God to be the one who brings dominion. It's for God's heavenly reign to break into this world and set things right, for God himself to be our king. And Jesus came to reclaim dominion over the earth, setting us free from sin, death, and Satan. This is why the gospel is called the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 4:23 and 9:35 and 24:14 and Mark 1:15. Why do I say that? Because so often we forget the kingdom. It's about the reign of God breaking into this world. It's a message about God's saving reign. That's why we read Isaiah 52 this morning. The New Testament uses this as its background for its understanding of the gospel. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation. And what's the message? Who says to Zion, your God reigns. The city was in devastation. They were in ruin. They were hopeless. And here comes this messenger. And what's the message of hope? Your God reigns. He's still in control. His hands are not bound. Do not be defeated. There's a reason to be happy. There's a reason to be at peace. Your God reigns. Romans 14:9 says, to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. The gospel in three words is Jesus is Lord. Fifth this morning, through his humiliation, his incarnation, death, and burial, and through his exaltation, his resurrection, ascension, and coming judgment, Christ saves us and mediates for us as our prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is called Christ, or the Christ, which is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah. Both of those words mean anointed one. When we say Jesus Christ, we mean Jesus the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, there were three offices which required ceremonial anointing with oil. Prophets, who spoke God's word. Priests, who stood between God and his people to atone for their sins and lead them in worship. And kings, who ruled over God's people in justice and save them from their enemies. Acts 10:38 explains that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus, the Anointed One, spoke God's word, making known to us the way of salvation. He atoned for our sins by his death on the cross. And he rose again in victory over sin, death, and the devil. Then he ascended into heaven to reign as Lord and build his church until he returns to judge all people and establish his unending kingdom of peace and righteousness on earth. One of the reasons why the ascension is so important is because it's integral to the gospel of the kingdom. If the gospel is the good news that God reigns, then the ascension is crucial, because in the ascension, Jesus goes to sit as king and Lord now. He's involved in the world now. And sometimes we focus almost exclusively on what he did back there in the cross and resurrection and what he's going to do when he comes again, that we forget he's alive and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he's reigning now through the Holy Spirit, filling the earth with his presence. And the promise of Jesus will not fail. I will build my church. He's alive this morning. Praise the Lord. This morning, Jesus, as your prophet, priest, and king, can meet all your needs, and no one else can. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Finally, this morning, this gospel demands a whole life response. The gospel demands a whole life response. When Peter preached the gospel at Pentecost, the people fell under conviction and asked, "What shall we do?" Peter answered, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And whenever the gospel is preached in the Bible, there's always a call to repentance, faith, and baptism. We are saved by believing in Jesus, by trusting in Christ alone for salvation. We can't earn our salvation by our good works. But when we believe in Jesus, we believe in him as Lord, which means that we turn our entire lives over to him. And we're set apart as members of his people, his church, through baptism. We cannot have Jesus as our Savior unless we have him as our Lord. This morning, bow now to King Jesus. You may have bowed to King Jesus in an altar of prayer 30 years ago. You may look back to a moment when you came to faith and were born again and converted. That's a wonderful thing to be able to remember. But what is most important is that you're trusting in Jesus right now, that you're bowing to him right now, and that you allow him to be Lord of your lives. This morning, I want to stand together and confess one more time our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. You know, the Apostles' Creed was written in the earliest centuries of the church as a way to summarize the gospel. It gives us a common way of being clear about what it is that we believe. The Almighty God made everything. He sent his Son to be born of a virgin, to die, to be raised, to ascend, to judge the world. And he poured out his Holy Spirit to create a church, a community that's Catholic, that's throughout the whole world, universal, made up of all nations, not just ethnic Israel. A church that is holy, that loves the Lord and is living for him. And this morning, as we confess these words together, remember that it is this faith, it is this gospel, which ultimately binds us in unity one to another. Let's confess our faith together.
Thank you for listening to the Holy Joy Sermon Podcast. Our labors for a holy, happy church are supported by generous listeners like you. Please pray about partnering with us at holyjoys.org/donate.